Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Come and Talk It with your host, Michael Cargill, brought to you by Texas Law Shield. Over the last decade, Michael has championed and supported the rights of law-abiding Texans to own and use firearms. He is the owner of Central Texas Gunworks, a veteran of the United States Army, and has achieved national exposure in such prestigious media outlets such as Forbes Magazine, Fox Business News, CNN Money, AOL, BBC World News, Huffington Post, and The New York Times. Cargill vigorously defends lawful gun ownership in this country without regard to party politics. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
Good day, Austin, Texas, the live music capital of the world. Let's praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. All right, so today I want to talk about quite a few things. I want to get into, Alec Baldwin. You know, is it, who in the world handed this man a gun with a live round in it? And you know what? When it comes to gun safety, that definitely lies with the person who has their hand on the gun, even though they definitely should fire their, you know, their armorer, the person that actually obviously made a serious mistake. And there's some inside stuff we have going on about this. Check this out. So I got an inside scoop there about a little bit of what happened. And it looks like the freelance armorer that they used went to the gun range the night before and used that firearm to practice with to shoot. And left live rounds in the gun when he came back to work. The first assistant director checked the firearm, checked the rounds, and thought it was okay, and handed it to Alec Baldwin. The police found live rounds in the box of blanks. Big boo-boo. There was a crew that had left the set because of safety issues as well as losing their hotel rooms. And they replaced the props department who had the prop guns with that cheaper group of people. I guess they sold to the lowest bidder there. So basically all your union people, you know, your union people walked out and left because of safety concerns. Looks like they were right. But in the end, when it comes to gun safety, we've always said this, you know, it's up to you. You put your hands on the gun, the buck stops right there. It stops right there. So I'm curious if there are going to be any criminal charges. I'm sure there's going to be some civil action going on there. But someone died. And the thing about, you know, the person that died is that was a support person. That wasn't an actor. So who in the world were you pointing a gun at? So there's a lot going on there. But we're going to talk about that a little bit more. And also want to have a state representative, James White, on the show today to talk about a couple things. There's a AG opinion. He requested a couple of them, actually. And it's not uncommon for, you know, elected officials who are chair committees. He's, chair of a committee to request an AG opinion on things. Also has constituents as well who ask questions and have concerns. He's requested AG opinions, you know, all the time. And there's one, you know, there's two of them. And the one I want to talk about is whether a peace officer has a duty to intervene to prevent another peace officer from violating the rights of a citizen. I'm going to talk about that AG opinion that he requested. And then did anything happen in the state legislature to address this? And also, what did AG actually have to say? So I want to talk about that. And then also, we want to discuss, there's another opinion that he requested, and that is, you know, as remember the case of the Supreme Court ruled that the LGBTQ, same-sex, you know, can marry. He requested an opinion about that as far as in the concept of how does this relate to a private entity, a private person, or private citizen? You know, we know how that case relates to when it comes to same-sex marriage, having to acknowledge that from the standpoint of elected official. But what about a private business? Can a private business, you know, discriminate or, you know, not do business with someone because they're same-sex? Going to talk about that. Got a lot to talk about, Zach. How was your day?
It was great. Happy to be here.
That's right. And that's a lot. Alec Baldwin, you know, what do you think?
Oh, what an idiot.
You think, yeah, and that's what I said. We were like, why is he an idiot? Well, man, let me explain something to you. You know, we get, you know, we
because he wasn't taught respect for firearms.
Well, he's anti-gun for one, and that, you know, and if you're anti-gun, you shouldn't promote a movie that, you know, promotes firearms for one.
Anti-gun people typically do not have a lot of respect for firearms.
No, not at all. And we're going to show you later on in the hour, we're going to show you how Will Smith deals with gun safety, you know, the right way. You know, you need to check your firearm. You know, what if, you know, a gun gets shipped in to me, which has happened before, with a live round in the chamber, which has happened before, and I don't check that firearm, and a customer comes in to look at their gun, and, you know, it goes off because they pulled the trigger. How is that going to look on me? And definitely is going to look bad on the person that pulled the trigger because they didn't check it. But it's definitely going to look bad on me, the FFL dealer, if I don't check that firearm. So, you know, you got to, you know, when it comes to guns, this is not a joke here. You got to get some training. If you don't know, you need to know. You need to learn. So we'll get back into that. But I want to get into a little bit when we come back from the break here. I do want to get into, you know, the two AG opinions. Going to talk about same-sex marriage a little bit. Going to talk about, you know, what about law enforcement? When one police officer sees another police officer doing something, do they have a duty to intervene? We're going to talk about what the law was or what the opinion of the AG was before this session. Going to talk about what came after this session, because you need to know. You know, if you get stopped by law enforcement, a police officer is doing something wrong, there's another police officer that arrives on the scene, notices it. Does he have a duty to intervene and say, hey, hold on, you know, that's not right. This is how it should be done. And then exact to what extent does that mean? What does he have to do or she have to do in, you know, in that intervention? Let's talk about that. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Hi, this is Stephen Woolford, the Barefoot Defender. I get my global gun news from Michael Cargill at Come and Talk It.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, football fans. The NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Talk 13-7, the right choice.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
All right, Alec Baldwin, gun safety. Where does gun safety lie when it comes to a movie set? Is it the armor's responsibility? Yes. Is it the assistant director's responsibility, who hands the firearm to the actor? Yes. Is it the actor's responsibility? Yes. All of the above. In the end, it's everyone's responsibility when it comes to firearm safety. You know, but take a look at this video here from Will Smith.
Bumping it up a level to some of the cooler, more up-to-date stuff.
It's not more extravagant than the second one.
Terrible gun safety.
That's right. When it comes to gunsmith safety, it's everyone's responsibility. But let's change gears a little bit. I want to talk about the legislature. I want to talk about what's going on at the Capitol. Talk about what happened last year and also this session. So I have a State Representative James White. Welcome to Come and Talk It, sir.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me on, Mike. I think this is my first time. I'm so honored to accept this invitation and proud to represent our fellow Texans in Polk, Tyler, Jasper, Newton, and Hardin counties.
Absolutely, sir. All right, so let's get right into this. So you requested an AG's opinion whether a peace officer has a duty to intervene to prevent another peace officer from violating the rights of a citizen. So give us your take on, why did you request this opinion and what the AG actually said, and then what came out of the legislature?
Well, thank you so much for that question. You know, last year in many parts of our country, maybe even in our state, it was an inflection point on a lot of issues dealing with our local law enforcement, how they engage with their fellow citizens in the course of doing their work. And one question that kept coming up was, to what extent do officers have a duty to intervene? For example, when they see other officers probably violating someone's constitutional rights? And even when do officers have a duty to render aid when a subject is hurt or hurting physically? So I thought I would just send this over to the Attorney General's office. Let me just back up. Many of our local law enforcement agencies around the state already had policies dealing with those two aspects. But when we ask the Attorney General statutorily or even constitutionally what was required, it didn't come out very, didn't come out very clear that there was not an expressed requirement for Texas peace officers to render aid and to intervene when someone's constitutional rights are being violated. So, look, this past session, it's been a lot of sessions, right, this year. But in the regular session, I chaired the House Committee on Homeland Security and Public Safety. This is one of the issues that we dealt with. And in statute now, we have expressed statutory guidance to Texas peace officers to render aid to subjects and to also they have a duty to intervene when they believe a subject's rights are being violated.
Okay, and then how far does that go when it comes to that duty to intervene? Does that mean they step in right there necessarily, or?
Well, understanding that, and you know as well as I know, you teach law enforcement. You probably do teach law enforcement folks some stuff, but dealing with firearms, there are just so many permutations. So we think we have a statute And let me say, we work with our law enforcement around the state in crafting this language that provides them the guidance to at least report, when they notice, a person's rights being violated by other officers, to the extent that they can't physically get in the middle of it and stop it, okay? Because you don't know what the situation is on any particular scene, right? So at the minimum, they will have a duty to report that those unconstitutional actions. As it relates to the duty to render aid, the same thing. You know, if the officer is hurt, okay, that may impair the officer in rendering aid to a subject. If there's another officer hurt and that officer's injuries are more dire than the subject, the officer has discretion to first provide aid to that law enforcement officer. So in general, I want to say I think we have two statutes that deal with these two aspects in a very practical way.
All right, and then the next opinion I want to bring up, because I got tagged into this week, and people are all in an uproar, and that is okay. Whether Oberfall and versus Hodges, a Supreme Court case that requires private citizens to recognize homosexual marriages when the law of Texas continues to define marriage exclusively as the union of one man and one woman, and so what I think you're asking is. You're basically saying, hey, when it comes to the Supreme Court case, because there's Texas law on the books right now, but when it comes to Supreme Court case, what about a private citizen? We know as a government entity, as a elected official, that case says, you know, as elected official, it says one thing. But as a private citizen, as a private business, you know, can I discriminate, you know, against same-sex marriages?
And I would say may, and I would even say there's probably a difference between a private citizen and maybe a private business. If you think about other civil rights legislation or actions, you know, in some instances, the statute preceded any type of court ruling. So if you look at the Civil Rights Act of 1964, you know, prohibition on discrimination based on race, you know, sex, religion. Those things are in statute, right? Right, Mike? And then there have been court interpretations that come after. In this situation here, especially as it deals with Texas, what we really have is a court case, a court ruling from the Supreme Court, okay? And really, we haven't had anything to follow that statutorily on the state level. So I understand these things and the emotions behind them, but I have to remind folks that I have constituents just like everybody else does, and we got to ask the hard questions. You know, if you remember last year, there was a lot of uproar on the response I got back from the Attorney General on duty to render aid and duty to intervene, and everybody thought I actually had put the state or in a position of giving law enforcement officers sort of like the freedom to not intervene and not to render aid. But look at what happened after that. We were able to sit down and craft legislation to tie that loose end up. So if I could, Mike, if we could just go through the opinion, is that okay with you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. So I don't know if everybody has it in front of them. I don't know. I think I've sent you a copy of it or you have one. Mm-hmm. This is a fact, and I kind of
and which
feel
one,
like,
which
I'm
one,
okay.
Which one are we talking about?
The last one we just brought up here about marriage.
Okay, about marriage, okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. And I almost feel like I'm back in the classroom doing fact versus opinion, and I'm okay with that. But it just sort of starts off with the constitutional laws of Texas continue to define marriage as a union of one man and one woman. That is a fact. Okay, that's a fact. All right. Then it talks about the family code also identifying marriage as one man, one woman. That's a fact. And then when you go to the second paragraph, it talks about in response to Obergefell v. Hodges, okay, that the Supreme Court has ruled that, you know, you cannot favor one marital construct over the other. You know, they're all equal now. They all deserve the protection under the Constitution, and that includes so-called, you know, same-sex marriage, okay?
And let's go back a little bit. So what we're talking about in that first paragraph, you know, we're talking about what the Texas Constitution actually says, what the law says.
Yeah.
The Constitution and laws of Texas continue to define marriage as the union of one man and one woman. And, you know, see Texas Constitutional Article 1, 32, a marriage in this state shall consist only of the union of, you know, and it goes into it, you know, one man and one woman is what you're talking about.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. So obviously the Supreme Court in Obergefell struck down. Well, let me back up. It opined, it ruled that the state of Texas cannot. The state of Texas, okay, cannot favor heterosexual marriage and not give credence to same-sex marriage, okay? So in this second paragraph, it goes into other rulings, okay, where the Supreme Court or federal court enjoins, and that's really what happened after Obergefell was ruled. It enjoined or told state officials, governing officials, you know, you can't favor one marital construct over the other. And there are some other court opinions that says that when that happens, the federal court doesn't necessarily erase anything out of the state statute books when that happens.
And hold that thought. And I'm gonna let you finish that when we come back from the break. And I also want to ask you about the gun safety, you know, as it pertains to, like, you know, movie sets and things of that nature, and what your thoughts is on that. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Folks, this is Doug Man Jones. And I get my gun news from Michael Cargill at Come and Talk It.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Austin's Talk 1370.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
All right, we're talking with State Representative James White and his opinion to the Attorney General's Office of Texas whether Obergefell and versus Hodges requires private citizens to recognize homosexual marriages when the law of Texas continues to define marriage exclusively as the union of one man and one woman. State Rep White, and you're also the chair of, like, two committees, right?
Well, I'm chairing one committee, chair of the Committee on Homeland Security and Public Safety.
Okay. And I thought districting, that was in there somewhere.
Well, I do serve on the committee.
Okay, gotcha.
But I'm not the chair.
All right.
Yes.
All right. And then you were saying about, you know, this opinion, this request?
Yes. Yes. So and look, this request, and it's a request, this request for opinion doesn't attempt to challenge Olga Brethel. It's not to ask the attorney general, and nor could the attorney general even do that. Okay. It's not asking for an overturning or rebuttal of Olga Brethel.
It's just an opinion. Opinion of, you know, how should we look at this?
Yeah. From the aspect of private citizens, because, you know, in my request here, it says federal judicial power extends only to the resolution of cases and controversies between litigants. Olga Brethel v. Hodges wasn't between, you know, necessarily, it wasn't between other private citizens. It was between the government and the citizens that wanted to enjoy the pleasures of being married, even if it was same sex. Okay, so that is settled law. Okay, regardless if you agree with it or you disagree with it, it is settled law.
All right. So if I have a homeowner association, you know, and I say, you know what, I think I want to kick out, you know, all the gays from the homeowners association because they're a private entity, right?
I don't know. This is why we asked the question.
Right.
And let me just get a little deep here.
Sure.
I have staff and employees, you know, legislative staff. Obviously, I have employees in business. I just wonder how people just get into some of these issues.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're so private, you know, and usually, you know, if you're hiring someone in your business, Mike, you're hiring them for a, you know, to achieve some type of competent act, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And as long as they get probably got a clear or appropriate criminal history, you're okay.
That's right.
Okay. So to wrap this part up, it just asks the attorney general to legally opine, does Obergefell require private citizens? I'm not really sure a homeowners association, because you bring up some good points, Mike, on that, because this year we actually passed legislation to strike a lot of ethnic and racially discriminatory language out of, you know, these homeowner deeds throughout state. Okay. So it will give these homeowner associations an opportunity to go in and get those deeds right by getting that awful, odious language out of their homeowner deeds that were probably put in back in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s, you know?
Right.
Okay. So I'm not really sure on private citizens. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And look, it'll be 6 months. The AG has reached out to Equality Texas as well to weigh in on this. Okay. And again, I'm open-minded on this. No one should be discriminated for something that definitely doesn't have anything to do with their job or with the actual selling or using some type of service, okay? But as it relates to private citizens and understanding the limits of federal rulings, okay, I think this is a good question, and I won't be in the legislature next session, but if there are some things that need to be corrected, hopefully there'll be members with the thoughtfulness and the courage to get it done, just like I had to get it done with duty to render aid and duty to intervene.
Okay. And that, now let's change gears a little bit. Let's talk about gun safety. I want to talk about, you know, what's your thoughts on, you know, this Alec Baldwin, this movie set incident.
Well,
and then also, you know, it's gun safety in, you know, when should we start, you know, teaching gun safety?
Okay. Well, let me give you some background. I don't know why I kind of know why you're asking me this. This session, the Homeland Security Public Safety Committee, for several hours, maybe like for about 6 or 8 hours, we heard legislation that eventually led to the constitutional carry being law here in Texas. And we passed several other pieces of, I thought, very thoughtful, great firearms legislation that, you know, put this back into the hands of lawful citizens. But let me just first say that I think there was a young person that was a fatality due to this incident on the set that dealt with Alec Baldwin. And anytime there's a loss of life, you know, we should take a pause on that. Hopefully we're praying for the strength and the courage of the family as they're going through this bereavement period. But let me just give you some personal history. And this is why some of the issues that I've dealt with as far as it involves firearms rights, Mike, is very interesting to me, because when I was a high school student in the late 70s, early 80s, in the middle of Houston, Texas, that's urban, right? I went to a high school, Lamar Senior High School, that had an Army ROTC program. I was in that program, okay? And in that program, we had a rifle team. I was on the rifle team. We fired 22 caliber rifles, okay? It was real rifles with real rounds, and we had a firing range on campus. And one of the requirements when you, you know, when you first got into Army ROTC at high school as a freshman, you had to take a firearm safety, hunting safety course. So I think we should start teaching firearm safety very early in childhood. Okay. Right. This is a constitutional right. Just like we talk about the First Amendment in school, we talk about all these other rights. We should be teaching about firearm safety. So I think it should start as early as appropriate.
And you're right, because you look at, is there an age limit when it comes to the First Amendment? Is there an age limit when it comes to the Second, the Third, you know, the Fourth, the Fifth? You know, you know, so why do we put an age limit on the Second, you know?
And the deal is, it just tickles me, but at the same time, it's very sad, because, you know, we had firearms on campus. Okay, we were not shooting at each other. We did not run out the firing range with the weapons and go into the main building shooting at everybody. We had a real respect for firearms. Okay, we gained a respect for our firearms. We gained a love for the sport of shooting and cleaning our weapons. But at the same time, we had respect for firearms, from what to what they can do. Okay, so I just take it back. You know, I think it was my second session in the legislature. I filed a piece of legislation, kind of like with this the controversy with this request for opinion, that said, hey, look, let's give it to the school districts, and if they want to teach a firearm safety course as a elective, they should be able to do it. And you would have thought that I wanted to teach some type of foreign religion or something. Okay. And I'm like, hey, I did this when I was in high school.
Right.
And I think I'm better for it.
I absolutely. You know, just like, you know, I think a lot of people should serve in the military. I think, you know, before they go to college, I think, you know, yes, absolutely. Firearms, well, you know, you need to be taught that at a very young age.
Yeah. And, you know, about being in the military, you know, and look, it's not a big deal, but, you know, a lot of our folks talk about gun rights. Okay. And you know what the drill sergeant will tell you about what's a gun. Okay. And what it's used for.
That's right. And which is which.
And and what's a rifle and what that's used for. So you didn't refer to your weapons in the military, except a machine gun. You referred to that as a gun. But you referred at that time to your M16A2. You referred to that as a rifle.
That's right.
Okay. But all of that was about getting establishing respect. Okay. So, and if I could say this, this is why I believe, and we got a great country, we got a great state, we've got vocal, thoughtful citizens on both sides of this issue as it relates to firearms rights. This is why we should always be a little hesitant about saying, passing this law, you're going to allow this to happen. Because I think actor, and I like looking at some of his movies, I think he is one that is very, very, very strong on restricting firearm rights.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Okay. So look, it's a First Amendment. I'm glad he's exercising his First Amendment. I've served in the military. I would go back if asked to protect his constitutional rights. But that's why I would tell folks, let's be thoughtful when we're talking about this. Let's not be demeaning and demonizing, because we're finding out that firearm accidents, firearm fatalities can come in many ways.
That's right. Yeah. And you say don't be mean, you know, but I can't help it. It's in my nature. Because, you know, we should respond to Alec, and we should, you know, give him his wishes and grant his wishes and reach out to that DA and say, you know what, DA, we should go ahead and charge him and convict him with a felony so he can never be in possession of a firearm ever again. And he'll have to worry about, you know, gun safety and stuff like that.
But what we would hope. And you know, this gets into some of the other issues that we talked about. You know, they're thoughtful people that say, James, anytime a firearm comes up missing, it should be a statutory requirement for the firearm owner to notify police. And if not, if someone uses that stolen or lost firearm in the commission of unlawful firing, you know, you should be held at a felony, at least at a felony level. Ooh. Statutory responsibility.
I don't know about that, because what if, you know, you didn't know it was taken, and what about a vehicle? Cars get stolen all the time, you know, and crimes are committed with those vehicles. Like just this week, someone stole a vehicle and broke into a gun store.
Right, and maybe you didn't have time to report.
Right.
Maybe you didn't know it was stolen. I mean, think about friends you and I have that have dozens of weapons. Okay, I have friends that have dozens of weapons. And someone comes in, steals one of them. It's one out of 50. Yes, I have friends that have 50 weapons. It's one out of 50. You may not notice it. Okay. If some law is in place until the law enforcement knocks on your door and said, did you know you had a weapon missing?
Right.
Do you know that weapon was used in a commission of a crime?
Right.
We're taking you in as well. I mean, so I just think a lot of times we just need to be thoughtful with these laws, and sometimes this is why I file these requests for opinions. And I think when you really know where we are statutorily, we can make the right reforms that we need to make sure we have a great state.
And I tell you what, I appreciate you, State Representative James White. We all appreciate you. And you're running for office. You're running for another office,
statewide.
A different office.
Statewide. Yes.
Not
statewide
just state
office.
Rep, but you're running for a different office now.
Yes.
Can you tell me what that office is?
Yes, it's the commissioner, Texas Commissioner of Agriculture. It's a $600-700 million agency per year. Most of the funding for that department actually comes from your federal tax dollars coming back to Texas for free and reduced lunch programs and other nutrition programs in the state. But another big part of the Texas Department of Agriculture is to be the promoter of Texas agriculture, our producers and our consumers.
All right. Well, thank you once again, State Rep White, for coming on the show and telling us about these two opinions. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your weekend.
All right. Thank you so much. God bless.
Yes, sir. All right. So that's State Rep White. We'll be right back after this. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Peace, this is Maj Toure. You're listening to Come and Talk It Radio with Michael Cargill.
Austin's Talk 1370.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so let's travel. We're going to travel to California for the rest of the show here. And we're going to talk about California, what's going on in that state. We're going to talk about the governor's race and also want to get into some other things. Before we go to California, there's one thing I want to talk about here in Texas. Caldwell County. Caldwell County. That's right. Want to talk about Martindale, Texas. So this young man was driving along in Martindale, Texas on his way back to Austin, apparently, and pulled into a driveway. They suspect he was kind of lost, kind of get his GPS, you know, and he got off track there trying to figure out where he was going. It happened to be about 3:42 a.m. in the morning, 3:30 in the morning there. And so he pulled into a driveway, stopped, he's looking at his GPS, he's trying to figure out, you know, trying to get back. And the homeowner sees him, you know, goes outside. And this is why it's important to take a handgun license course. You get all these people that say, you know, yes, constitutional carry has passed. Absolutely. And you should be able to. I think everyone should be able to have a firearm. You know, you shouldn't have any restrictions. I even think I'll go a step further and I'll say, you know, after a certain time frame, even convicted felons should get their firearms rights back. You know, so I'll even go that step further, you know, but you still need to take a class. You need to learn safety. You need to learn what the laws are in the state, city, county, where you live in, so that way you don't get in trouble. Learn use of force and deadly force. Learn conflict resolution. You know, when can you legally shoot someone? Even though the Texas constitutional carry has passed, you know, but when can you legally pull that gun out and shoot someone? That's really important. You know, what is the difference between the stand your ground law and, you know, and the Texas Castle Doctrine? You know, a lot of people get that confused, and all the news stories that I'm reading on this, they're getting that confused. They're confused between the stand your ground law and the Castle Doctrine. Those are two different things. So you need to go to class, take a class from someone and learn what those things are. Learn when you can legally pull that gun out and show it. When can you threaten someone with a firearm? You know, when can you shoot someone? That's all. All that stuff is really important. Because once again, this week, you know, here the number two reasons why people had to take a class with us this week is, one, they took a firearm to the airport, the Austin Burstyn Airport. Two is because someone, you know, they didn't know what the law was as it pertains to when you can, you know, like an AR pistol, Zach. AR pistol, you know, person thought that they can actually, you know, open carry an AR pistol and go into you know, like Walmart with the pistol and just have it in their hand, like in port ready. No sling, no, nothing like that. That's considered a handgun.
Yeah, that's a pistol.
That's right. So you have to follow the handgun law. So that means that if you're going to carry it in the open, it has to be in a holster, you know, or, you know, sling or something like that, because that's a pistol. So, you know, because of that, they wind up, you know, getting charged with a crime and having to take a firearm safety course to, you know, do pretrial, you know, diversion. All right, so this guy goes outside, sees someone in his driveway, and, you know, he thought he saw a gun. Turns out this guy had his cell phone in his hand, you know, trying to, you know, get his bearings about him, and he pulled the trigger and shot this guy with the guy's windows were up. He shot through the window, shot this guy, killed this guy, grabbed the phone, dialed 911, said, I just killed someone. You know, what do you say to 911? You know, I don't think I want to admit I just killed someone, because now I'm the suspect immediately. That's saying that I think I did something wrong by, you know, someone, you know, was on my property. Someone tried to kill me, so I had to defend myself. Maybe you want to say that, you know, it's certain things you want to say, certain things you want to, you know, you don't want to do. So all that stuff we talk about in the class, you know, come to class, learn this stuff, you know, so that you don't wind up, you know, on the news with your mugshot. You know, with that look on your face, you know, that question mark above your head, you know, but, you know, so let's travel to California. Let's go to California. We're going to go past New Mexico, you know, past Alec Baldwin, wave at him, you know, as he's, you know, crying, you know, in the brush. And then we're going to go to Arizona and let's get into California here. All right. So Major, we have and I like this name, Major Williams. I like that name, Major Williams. He's a former candidate for the governor of California. We're going to talk about California politics and gun laws. I want to talk about recalling Gavin Newsom. I want to talk about, you know, his lawsuit with Brandon Tatum's wife. I want to break all that stuff down. So welcome to Come and Talk It, Major Williams. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing fantastic, man. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, what's going on with California politics and all that good kind of stuff.
Well, it's a laundry list of issues that are happening here in California. As many know, it's, you know, wildly publicized. Me, myself, former gubernatorial candidate, I ran an amazing campaign for the last 16 to 17 months, relatively unknown, quickly became the most unknown known candidate in California's most recent history, just by simply, you know, connecting with the people. Oftentimes, I would go to towns and people would try to touch me to see if I was real as a candidate, because they're not used to candidates actually putting in the work and coming out there and having those real meaningful conversations. And I was able to do that because I thought in my naivete that this is what candidates do. Apparently not. But because I did do that, especially during the pandemic and during shutdowns, it meant that much more to voters. And I was able to gain so much wealth of knowledge and also experience over this last 16 months, champion to be the next governor of California. It didn't happen, but we're still fighting and we're still trying to see what the future looks like and holds for us next.
All right. And then, man, yeah, Californian guns, boy, I just don't go. You know, I do a hard stop in Phoenix, Arizona there. And I tell everyone to come visit me over in Phoenix. I just can't cross that border, you know, because I, you know, they pull me over. I got a Texas license plate. They know I got a firearm in my vehicle. So
absolutely. Well, we have some of the strictest gun laws in the entire country here in California. And I think it's one of those situations where it's been politicized, and it's also been a big, huge media push as far as misinformation. A lot of people who really care about the Second Amendment and, you know, their guns, whatnot, is not to become a part of the Wild Wild West and having shootouts. It's foundationally about the protection of yourself, your family, and your property. And a lot of that gets lost in the politicizing of, you know, a lot of Democrat policies that exist here in the state.
Yeah, and you get, you know, people like Alec Baldwin, who are, you know, anti-gun, who, you know, talk against firearms and then do movies, you know, that promote firearms. I just don't get that, you know, to be anti-gun, right, and then do a movie that promotes firearms, and then something like this happens. It's just crazy to me.
Well, it's the land of hypocrisy in politics and also in Hollywood, and we continue to deal with that on a, not only just a statewide level, on a national level as well. And this is kind of like just playing out in front of all of us to hopefully see and learn from and be reactionary from what we see from these individuals and just say, hey, we're going to fight for what we want, which is what we're doing with the office of Major Williams. You know, because the Second Amendment is, you know, our Second Amendment. So we're going to fight for that.
Right. And like I was saying to my previous guest, you know, at, you know, is there an age limit when it comes to our constitutional rights? You know, when it comes to the First Amendment, is there an age limit? When it's the Third Amendment, is there an age limit? The Fourth, is there an age limit when it comes to that? You know, why are we putting an age limit on the Second Amendment? I just don't get that. I don't understand.
Well, in all things, especially when it comes to government, one thing that we have, you know, if we didn't know, we know now, it's really about control and also power. You know, there's always have to be those gatekeepers that are going to ring us back in, wrangle us back in, so to speak. And that's what it comes down to. You know, they're only going to give us so much control when it comes to gun laws here in California, simply because it's misguided like so many other laws and regulations that they have as well, too. We know it's a bunch of nonsense. But a lot of parents, gun owners, and just regular Californians are beginning to wake up and stand up and fight back against some of these stringent regulations and restrictions here in our state.
All right, we're talking with Major Williams, former candidate for governor of California, talking about Gavin Newsom. We're going to talk about his lawsuit with Brandon Tatum's wife. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
This is Colby on Noir, and you're listening to Come and Talk It with Michael Cargill.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
Man, Zach, did you know over in Florida, a Florida man is accused of killing his neighbor in a dispute over a cat.
Meow.
Ooh.
A cat. Over a cat.
The neighbor didn't have nine lives.
No. Well, the neighbor survived. So quick. Clifford Anthony Bliss was 58. He's 58. Became angry when the cat went into his yard Wednesday, and he went into his neighbor's home in Umatilla and threatened to shoot the cat, officials said. James Arlen Taylor, Jr., 41, asked him, "No, don't shoot my cat." And according to deputies, that's when Bliss shot Taylor, they said. Man. If you know what I know, you would not mess with cat people, let me tell you. Have you seen that documentary?
Yeah, of course.
Don't mess with the cat people.
That's an intense one.
That is really intense. Don't. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you now, they'll hunt you down, boy. I'm telling you, they'll get you while you're in prison.
Well, this guy didn't shoot the cat. He shot the owner, so he's, you know,
they're gonna be
a little better off.
Because he shot the cat, he'd have been in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
All right, did you know? And again, over in Florida, another story here. Florida lawyer who represented George Zimmerman was arrested. He works for the defense group and was arrested Monday on charges of solicitation to commit perjury and witness tampering. So we're going to follow that case and see how that goes. Yeah. And the only reason they mention it because he was the attorney for George Zimmerman, of course. All right, so let's go back to California. Going back to California, let's talk to Major Williams. Man, Major Williams, I tell you, you know, ran for governor for California. You know, this guy's getting some momentum. He's gonna be. I think you're somebody to watch down the road, Major Williams, seriously. So, you know, what do you, you know, give us some insight on this recall election with Gavin Newsom.
Well, at this point right now, of course, the morale is low from a lot of Californians who put in so much work. And just to clarify, this wasn't a Republican recall. This was a bona fide California recall in regards to they crossed all party lines in regards to everyone being frustrated with this current governor. Over 2 million people signed the petition to recall this governor. However, it turned out, you know, the governor ended up winning this particular, you know, the recall election. So he remains the governor. But 2020 is right around the corner. And for me at this point, I'm still in the exploratory mode, exploratory phase, trying to assess if it's conducive for me to actually run again, because I don't want to be a perennial runner running all the time. I want to make sure that there is a real actual chance of competing with someone like Governor Gavin Newsom in a gubernatorial statewide election. But more importantly for me, I created the Office of Major Williams, which is going to allow me to stay politically engaged and support potentially the next Republican candidate that has the ability to carry the voice, carry the torch, and hopefully ignite more than Republican voters for a huge 2020 election that's coming up. And so I just don't know if that'd be me at this point, but I do know that I'm going to be very active in that space and making sure we change the culture of leadership here in California for the good of our state.
Now, look, playing, you know, chess. I love playing chess. Would it have been better for a lot of candidates to step back and then support one other candidate to go against the Governor Newsom there, you know, to, you know, throw their votes toward, you know, just one candidate, you know, would it have been better to come out?
The interesting dynamic. Because a recall is a lot different than a regular recall, which is why I try to educate and explain to many people. The reason why I would prefer 1,000 candidates is because you have 1,000 people championing for the same goal. The ultimate goal is to get people to say yes to recall the governor. Once that aspect happens, it's on the individual candidate to be the best messenger, to be the best advocate of solutions and plans forward for our state to win that seat, you know, moving forward. Because singular individuals don't have enough leverage as conservatives in California to galvanize that many votes, because we know the statistics tells us that no conservative can win in California with only Republican votes. And so I looked at it a little differently from a chess perspective as well. I wanted more candidates to be in the race because they were championing for people to say yes, which was the most important element of the recall election.
So are you saying maybe, you know, having more Democrats in the race, you know, taking votes away from Governor Newsom would have given the Republicans
more conservatives, more candidates, independents, because their messaging is to tell anyone.
But aren't you watering down the votes when you do that?
You potentially are. But if you are a great messenger. And what I was able to do over the last 16 months is galvanize more than Republican votes. It's been said I'm one of the fastest rising political candidates in California's most recent history, not because of anything special, just because I resonate with a broader audience than just conservatives. You know, I used to be a lifelong Democrat by default. I've only been a conservative Republican for 4.5 years, but my relatability is not on me telling you about talking points and spouting out, you know, statistics. It's about my story and also my journey, which broadly is more relatable than the typical candidates that you have running for these offices every single time there is an election. So I was something that was new, something galvanizing, and something fresh that a lot of people wanted to get behind and support, and they did.
All right. And tell us about your lawsuit.
Well, the lawsuit at this point has been dismissed as something that we put behind us. I mean, any time that you are in a public space or a public figure, whether you're an entertainer, you have an athlete, and in the public sector, you don't please everybody. And sometimes people take things and they run with it, and you can react in a certain way. And, you know, we reacted with the lawsuit, and we've chosen to move on past that. We have so much positivity around us right now. We felt like that was something that was negative, that was kind of like a negative pull. And so we're trying to clear the space in regards to how we approach things, and we're better for it. And so we just, you know, for us, it was something that happened. This happens a lot from what I hear in politics, but the landscape changed in regards to where our focus was. And I'm focused on changing the state. I'm focused on connecting with voters and people who really want to bring about change. But if I allow myself to be drawn and taken in these negative spaces and focusing on that and giving it light and attention, or even talking about it here in the interview, then it kind of allows that to continue to fester and allows it to win. So I, from a chess move, eliminated that because we found so many other methods and opportunities to address those situations, but also allow us to move forward in a positive light.
Okay. All right. And you have any thoughts on, you know, this movie set shooting and as far as like gun safety or anything like that, since, you know, a lot of movies come out of California.
I know. I mean, for us to be one of the most restrictive places, and someone like himself, as far as Alec Baldwin, being so anti-gun, to have that kind of mishap, and we're just waiting for the statement comes out. He's going to blame it 100% on someone else, or blame it on the gun. You know, I've seen times even teaching my 11-year-old son to shoot. You know, guns are not bad. You know, guns are, it's a tool. It's something that can be used for your protection. You know, guns do not kill people. People kill people with guns, especially when it comes to bad people. They will always have access to those particular guns. But once more, this is the land of, hypocrites, meaning, you know, politics and also in Hollywood. And this is just another example of someone within that industry that's so, you know, anti-gun, but all of a sudden does so much with guns and so-called visuals of violence with these films that they are promoting and showing visually to our kids. So it's hypocrisy to the fullest.
Well, more hypocrisy. Alec Baldwin is facing backlash from a 2017 tweet questioning how it must feel to wrongfully kill someone. He actually tweeted this back in 2017, and now look at, you know, what he's facing right now. So it's amazing how things come around, you know, threefold.
Well, I will say, karma is real. You know, however we slice it, we all try, hopefully, to be good human beings. We all have past. We all say certain things, but how you move forward is your choice and your decision. Who he has been here lately and as far as the stance that he's taking, maybe this is a bit of karma, you know, coming back on him in regards to some of the sentiments that he shared via tweet versus what's happening right now. But I haven't heard actually an official statement from him, but I kind of predict that it's going to be bad gun, bad gun, bad gun versus I take full responsibility. And I didn't understand gun safety, which is what we're missing across the entire state.
Yeah, it was a tweet, you know, off of something that he posted in reference to a video showing a Huntington Beach officer fatally shooting a suspect outside of 7-Eleven. And then his, you know, his comment was, "I wonder how it must feel to wrongfully kill someone." And that was back on September 22nd, 2017. He did that tweet.
Well, at this point right now, I believe that anyone that's in front of him can, you know, rightfully ask him that question as well. You know, that's what he's dealing with right now, because that young woman had a promise in life. She had a family. She had loved ones who really appreciated her art and what she was, the value that she added to the film and to other people's lives. And now she's not here because of a mishap in gun safety. I remember talking to a good friend of mine by the name of Maz Torre. He's a huge advocate for gun safety. And I believe that you bring individuals like that into the Hollywood spaces and on these sets so people can truly understand the significance of gun safety and protecting everyone in those particular spaces so we don't have these type of scenarios that transpire, because they're fatal when you make those type of mistakes. And we see what's happening right now, which is a travesty.
That's right. Man, I tell you what, thank you, Major Williams, and former candidate for governor of California there. Going to definitely keep our eye on you and watch what you do down the road, because we need to see you in office for sure.
Hey, man, thank you guys so much for having me. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming on the show. All right, we come back from the break. Going to talk about, man, retired Oakland police captain wounded, one other killed during a gas station gun battle. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
This is Coley on Noir, and you're listening to Come and Talk It with Michael Cargill.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
Since we're in California, we're going to stay there a little while longer here. A retired Oakland police captain, Ursay Joyner, was wounded and another person died in a gun battle during an attempted robbery at an Oakland gas station. And we got the video. Take a look at this video here. Check this out. So apparently they tried to rob this guy. He didn't know he was, you know, carrying his firearm on him. And he had to go to town to defend himself. And he ended up getting shot as well and wounded, ended up going to the hospital. So hope everything comes out with him. Joyner underwent surgery at Highland Hospital and was in the intensive care unit. This hit the community really hard because he was a really super nice guy and really cared about his community. And somehow they just picked the wrong person at the gas station getting gas that day. And, you know, just wrong place, wrong time. You know, they picked the wrong person and, you know, they got dealt with. That's when Joyner pulled his gun and opened fire, hitting and killing one of the suspects and injuring another. And video at the gas station, you know, shows that two of the suspect robbers returned fire and injured Joyner on the video. And the dead man's companions tried briefly to drag him to their car and then give up and drive away in a black sedan. All right. So, and crazy. You got to always be prepared. You always got to have, and he had his head on a swivel too, because he was turned around. He was looking, heard a noise and he looked to his right there. And, you know, he was definitely aware of his surroundings and things happened really quick. You know, that's 3-on-1. You know, how proficient are you with your firearm? You know, can you draw your firearm from your concealed carry position to stop a threat? You know, got to ask yourself those questions. Got to practice. Got to go to the range. Can't be about it. Got to do it. All right, so I want to talk about a veteran who disarms a robber. Man, this Marine veteran disarms his robber, and the situation had, you know, he dealt with that situation real quick. Man, this guy, he didn't think, he didn't blink. They walked in, had a firearm. Man, he reached for it, bam, hit this guy, and he went to town. So this millions around the world have now watched the Marine veteran from Yuma jump into action. James Kilser single-handedly stopped an armed robbery at a Yuma gas station early Wednesday morning, and the video has exploded online with the vast majority of viewers applauding his bravery and quick thinking. Absolutely. Got to ask yourself, you know, do you want to stand there and watch something like that happen, or do you want to get in and get involved? You know, you have to ask yourself that personally. There's some things you have to deal with. You can either get involved or you can be a good witness. You choose.
You better be quick.
He got it real quick.
Yeah, if you're going to snatch the gun out of somebody's hands, you better be quick.
and grab hold of it tight, mm-hmm. So that, you know, it's not, so it doesn't fire.
Yeah.
All right. He said, I was just getting ready to turn around to leave, and I heard the door swinging open in an aggressive fashion, and it kind of had he said he had his spidey senses tingling a little bit. He kind of senses, man, something's not right. And you get that strange feeling. Most people would have froze and ran when seeing a gun at eye level, but he responded. He responded quick. All right. So let's go to, man, North Austin. Let's come on back to Texas. North Austin business owner was told by police to gather his own evidence. Check that out, Zach.
Oh, yeah. They don't come and respond to calls anymore.
Yeah, that's where we are today. You know what? Oh, you were robbed. Oh, someone broke into your place. Well, you know, you just you take some pictures, You know, do the fingerprints if you want to, submit them, whatever.
Hi, Austin Mayer, Steve Adler. You got a minute?
And yeah, we'll get back to you. All right, so after multiple thefts and burglaries, a North Austin business owner learned how severe the police staffing shortage is and how vital community support is doing this time. And so he's learning, and we're all learning. This is a learning curve, let me tell you. So these guys, you know, broke into his business, caused a lot of damage, and, you know, he ended up trying to call 911. He directed him to call 311 instead. You know, oh, 911, no, this is not an emergency. They're already gone. All right, well, no need. Call 311. And I tell people, you know, look, they broke into a gun store. You know, made an attempt to break into a gun store here in Austin. And they were, you know, no investigators came out. They didn't take any fingerprints, didn't, you know, do any, you know, an investigation, you know, at the business at all. You know, so if they don't care about a gun store, what makes you think they care about your business or your home, your vehicle, or anything like that? You know, that's just where we are. And that's it. That's since last year. That's not just this year. That was last year, 2020. So it's been like this for a while, over a year now. So it is what it is. Unfortunately, we have to step up. You know, if you own a business, you're going to have to step up to the plate and, you know, do monitoring, maybe get a security guard, maybe have someone, you know, hire a person to watch your cameras at night, to see anyone coming through the parking lot, to be on alert, you know, to try to, you know, call 911 while they're there on the scene, you know. When you see something suspicious that's actually happened, and, you know, rather than calling after the fact, after they're already gone, the alarm has already gone off. Because by that time, you know, once they gain entry, they're only going to spend like a minute and a half, or max 2 minutes inside the business, you know, getting what they're going to get. So that's just where we are today. APD confirmed that they are investigating that suspect, you know, and so I don't know how much of an investigation they're doing there. Probably not much. No resources. There's an election that's going on, Zach.
Yeah.
Early voting is happening right now.
Prop A, Prop B.
Yeah. That's right. And I voted already. I voted on day two.
I think they have something like record low turnout.
Record low turnouts. That's right. So when you don't, if you're worried about crime, you know, don't complain if you didn't go vote. If you're concerned about it and you're concerned about the slow police response, you know, don't complain.
Is that the solution to crime, or is the solution to crime everybody getting a gun?
I think everybody should get a gun.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that's the solution.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm just going to get a banner. Shoot them. just.
If they're in the commission of what?
Committing aggravated kidnapping, murder, sexual assault, aggravated sexual assault, robbery, aggravated robbery. If they're committing burglary, doesn't matter if it's daytime or nighttime, robbery, aggravated robbery, daytime or nighttime, theft only at night for theft, and criminal mischief only at night.
Okay, so this guy that broke into the store and stole all this lingerie.
Burglary and theft.
So he could have been shot.
Daytime or nighttime, good to go.
Boom.
That's right. Yeah, and call the coroner. They have a 7-digit number.
Call a hearse, not an ambulance, right?
That's right. You call them and they'll be there in a couple hours. There's no need. Hey, tell them to take their time. You're cooking some, you're keying up the coffee, and you have the coffee ready for them when they arrive. So that's what you do. That's mm-hmm. how you had a situation. You know, that's where we're coming to today, unfortunately. You know, that's where it is. But you need to come to class and learn those laws. Learn when you can use of force, deadly force. When you can legally pull that gun out and actually, you know, defend yourself, protect your property, and all that good kind of stuff. Because there's a difference between a daytime and nighttime in a lot of circumstances. There's a difference, you know, if someone's, you know, jumps into your vehicle or something like that during the daytime versus at night. If someone's taking something off your property, you know, or creeping around the property at nighttime, it depends. It just depends. It depends. There's a lot of variables that are in there. So you need to come to class and ask those questions. Ask your instructor those hard questions, you know, about what about this situation? What about this situation? You know, we're not attorneys. We can't give you legal advice, but we can tell you, give an idea of actually what the law really says.
Yeah, so that Prop A and B vote, the Travis County clerk reported that 0.79% of registered voters voted on the first day of voting.
So for the whole week, we're at 4. We're not even at 5% for the whole week. Woo. Wow.
And when is it over? The 28th, right?
Friday, early voting ends on Friday, and election day is that following Tuesday. Hmm. And man, they're gonna run and try to do it on Tuesday. You know, when that's crazy. I try to get in an early voting, and the lines are not long at all. You know, doing early voting, get in, get out. Man, I actually went in. I got my list of things, and I checked off. I read the different propositions and everything, the statewide stuff and all those, the city stuff. I read it, and I decided what I was going to do, and I walked in, and I was in and out in a matter of seconds, you know? And so, you know, I would suggest to you that you can download it online from your county, your election, you know, in the county where you are. And then, you know, that way you educate yourself on what things are actually on the ballot. I suggest you do that. All right. And then, man, when it comes to gun safety, you know, we talked about, you know, I've talked about, you know, Alec Baldwin and this shooting, and, you know, it's everyone's responsibility when it comes to safety. I cannot stress that enough. You know, firearms come into, for example, like I said earlier, the gun store. You know, we have to check those guns and make sure they're unloaded, because we do get loaded guns with a round in the chamber in the gun store that gets shipped to us. You're not supposed to ship ammunition with firearms, but it does happen. People do it all that week. People have food, they have ammunition, all kinds of things that they include in the box with the gun. You'd be surprised. Not just, you know, not just the gun. So you have to check that stuff and make sure, because I truly believe from the bottom of my heart, you know, I think that, you know, I think all couples, where you're gay, straight, whatever, I think they should be able to protect their marijuana plants with guns they purchase with Bitcoin. As always, more guns equals less crime. You go out there and you buy yourself a gun. You were listening to Come and Talk It with Michael Cargill.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.